Pastor Rick Warren often says, you were made by God and for God, and until you understand that, life will never make sense. Welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Today, in our series called God's Vision for the Rest of Your Life, Rick continues in his effort to help you discover the unique purpose and vision that the Lord has for your life. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how to get a hardcover copy of Pastor Rick's wonderful book, The Purpose of Christmas, just in time for the season. Go to PastorRick.com to find out more, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Choosing Your Future.
And Jesus said this about his disciples, John 17, they are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Can you say that about you? No, you can't, because you've been defined by the people in your life. You see, this is so important that we can't deal with anything else till you deal with this one. Because when you know who you are, it sets you free from the fear of disapproval. And most people are scared to death of criticism and rejection and disapproval. It's so important. I wrote a new chapter on it in The New Purpose-Driven Life. Because it's one of the two things. Envy says, I must be like you to be happy. And people-pleasing says, I must be liked by you to be happy. Both of them are wrong, and both of them will keep you from fulfilling the life God intended for you to live. You have to say, I'm going to resolve that I will refuse to be defined by other people. And I'm not going to let other people's approval or disapproval shape my life. I'm going to live for an audience of one. This is what Moses did. And your first life-shaping resolution is to say this: I resolve that no more will I let other people press me into their mold. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And I'm going to fulfill the plan that God has for my life, not somebody else's plan for my life. Why? Because you can trust God. The Bible says this, Jeremiah 29 on the screen. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Now, friends, that is real success. Real success, not phony, fake, artificial success. Real success in life is being exactly what you were created to be and nothing more than that. I want you, as your pastor, I want you to succeed in the rest of your life. But the only way you're going to do that is to be who God made you to be, not what other people are pressuring you to be, not what they want you to be. Being who God wants you to be. I refuse to be defined by others. Second, the second resolution that you need to make in life to be all that God wants you to be, a life-shaping choice is this. I choose short-term pain for long-term gain. I choose short-term pain for long-term gain. Now, anybody who's ever played a sport knows this one. You've got to put out the effort. You've got to practice. You've got to work hard. You've got to put out some sweat in order to play in the championship game. You just don't walk out and win the championship. No pain, no gain. You've got to put out to get back. If you're going to be good at anything, you've got to put out short-term pain for long-term gain. That's not just true in sports. It's true in finances. It's true in relationships. I have a good marriage, but I worked at it. Kay and I have worked at it hard for years. It didn't come easy. Nobody just has an easy relationship. You got to work at it to make your marriage work. It takes work to make it work. So you put out short-term pain for long-term gain. Am I grateful for the marriage I've got now? Are you kidding me? I'd pay $1 million. It's incalculable what my marriage is worth to me. But it wasn't always that way. We had to put out short-term pain for long-term gain. Why is this resolution important in your life? Because most of the problems in your life come from your inability to delay gratification. Everything in society teaches us, I want everything, and I want it now, and I want it free, and I want it easy. But life isn't that way. So every problem in your life comes from your inability to put off the pleasure in order to get it, a longer amount of it later on. I want it now, I want it free, and I want it easy. The reason you're in debt is because of your inability to delay gratification. That's why you're in debt. Because you say, I see it and I want it now. Do I have the money for it? No. Can I afford it? No. So I'm going to charge it and I'm going to put it on a credit card. Every time you use a credit card to buy something you can't afford, you are refusing to delay gratification. And you get deeper and deeper in debt. And the reason America is falling off a fiscal cliff is because our government doesn't know how to delay gratification. We want it all, and we want it all now, even though we can't pay for it. This is true physically in your health. I don't want to pay for a good health with exercise and proper diet and getting the right amount of sleep. I just want to do whatever I want to do and feel good. It isn't going to happen. You're going to feel bad if you don't do the pain to get the gain. It's true in relationships. When people go out and say, you know, I don't want to follow what God says about sex. I want to have sex now. I'm not married, but I want to have sex now. It causes problems in relationships. Because when you have sex with somebody, you give part of your heart to them. There's an emotional attachment. And you keep giving part of yourself away. It causes spiritual problems. Would you agree with me that usually the right thing to do is not the easy thing to do? Everybody agree with that? The easy thing to do is typically the wrong thing to do. The right thing to do is usually the hard thing. It's the painful thing. When somebody hurts me, the easy thing is hurt them back. The right thing to do is forgive them. That is not easy. That is not painless. It's painful to forgive. I don't want to let it go. I don't want to forgive them. I want to carry a grudge. The right thing is often the hard thing to do. Now, here's what happened with Moses. He made a choice. Verse 25, Moses chose, you might circle that, Moses chose to be mistreated. That's painful. Along with the people of God, you know, as a slave, rather than to enjoy, in the palace of Pharaoh, the pleasures of sin for a short time. You know what I love about the Bible? It always tells the truth. It doesn't gloss over anything. In that verse, it says, rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Sin is fun. Pleasures of sin for a short time. Sin's fun. Even the Bible admits it. Sin is fun. Nobody would do sin if it were painful.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Let the true reason for the season fill your heart with hope this year when you discover Pastor Rick's inspirational book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your three deepest needs and how receiving the three Christmas gifts God has for you will transform your life forever. This book is sure to become a beloved family favorite to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know how much God loves them. We'll send you the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Sin is fun. Pleasures of sin for a short time. Sin's fun. Even the Bible admits it. Sin is fun. Nobody would do sin if it were painful. We do sin because it's pleasurable. It's pleasurable to break the law. It's pleasurable to eat too much. It's pleasurable to do all kinds of things that are not good for you. And even the Bible says that, but it says pleasure in sin for a season. It's short term. You can go out and have your kicks. God's not going to stop you, but you will have the kickbacks. You can go out and do whatever you want to, but then there are consequences. You see, you are free. God has given you free choice to make any choice you want, but you are not free from the consequences of those choices. So I can go out and I can have sex with as many people as I want, but if I get somebody pregnant or I get an STD, that's a consequence I'm not free from. You are free to choose anything you want to do. You are not free from the consequences. And the moment you make that choice, you are no longer free. So you better make good choices, because you can't choose choice and not choose the consequence. He says, he chose to be mistreated, do the short-term pain for the long-term gain of doing the right thing. That's interesting. In verse 23, God chooses Moses. When he's a baby, he said, that's the guy I'm going to use. In verse 24, Moses had to choose God. God has chosen you. Have you chosen him? In verse 24, we see Moses refusing, and in verse 25, we see Moses choosing. The negative is followed by a positive. Before you make some resolutions, you may have to do some dissolutions. Refusing, then choosing. Now, the Christian life is not simply a matter of refusing. Some people think the Christian life is just all a bunch of no's, a bunch of don't do things. You know, I don't shrink, I don't smoke, drink, smoke, cuss, chew, run around with girls that do. You know, if the Christian life was a matter of a bunch of things you didn't do, then anybody who's dead would qualify as a Christian, because they don't do anything. No. Christianity is not something you say, I refuse this, but I choose this. And the negative is always followed by a positive. It's followed by a positive. And notice in that, did you notice earlier where it says, when he had grown up, he refused and he chose. He did the refusing and choosing when he had grown up. It's a mark of maturity. It's a mark of responsibility. Question, where do you need to start accepting responsibility for your life? Who are you blaming for your unhappiness? Well, if I just had a different wife, really? Well, if I just hadn't grown up in the family, really? Well, if I could just get married, if we could just have a baby, if I just had a job, who are you blaming? What are you blaming for your unhappiness? You are as happy as you choose to be, because happiness is a choice. And so is being close to God. You're as close to God as you choose to be. If you're not close to God, guess who moved? God didn't move. God wants to be close to you. If you're not close to God right now, it's because you have chosen to not be close to God. You got to make the choice. The fact is, he says, when he had grown up, he refused and he chose. When are you going to grow up spiritually? You cannot live off of somebody else's spiritual commitment. My parents loved Jesus Christ. So I grew up in a home where I was taught to love Jesus as a young boy. But if I were still living my life based on my parents' commitment, we would be in deep doo-doo right now. Because that's not enough commitment to get a grown man through life. At some point, my parents' faith had to either become my faith or not. You cannot depend on anybody else for your spiritual commitment. I can't tell you how many guys, men I've talked to, you know, we're playing golf or you're surfing or shooting some hoops, and I talk to them and they say, well, you know, my wife is a committed Christian. And I go, and? So what? You think that's going to give you some ticket into heaven because your wife's a committed Christian? Of course not. You need to man up and make your own commitment. I was on a plane the other day and a guy told me, he said, you know, I was talking about becoming a Christian and following Jesus. He goes, well, my uncle is a missionary. I said, yeah? You think that's going to get you into heaven because you got an uncle who's a missionary? It's a personal decision. It's like marriage. I could say to some of these kids who are on stage, I know you're married. They say, well, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, your parents are married, your grandparents are married, your great-grandparents are married, you got an older brother who's married, so you're married. No. Marriage is a personal decision, and so is faith in Christ. You can't depend on anybody else. When Moses had grown up, he started accepting responsibility for his own spiritual growth. Have you done that? You see, you can't blame anybody else for the direction of your life. If it sucks, it's because you're letting it suck. Now, let me be real clear. We are products of our past, but we are not prisoners of our past. Yes, your past has influenced you, but it doesn't control you. Other people can hurt you, and they will. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Other people can hurt you, they can harm you, and other people can scar you, but nobody can ruin your life except you. They don't have the power to ruin it because you have the power of choice. They can harm you, they can hurt you, they can scar you, but they cannot ruin you unless you allow them to do it. You accept responsibility and say, I'm going to choose short-term pain for long-term gain. Now, let me just say to I know we've got a young students in our services today, so let me just tell you this. You're going to have pain in life, either now or later. And you can either do the easy thing now, easy life now, hard life later. Hard life now, easy life later. In other words, if I do the hard thing right now and I put in the effort and the discipline to learn, to grow, to become strong, to mature, and I do the hard things now, later in life, I get to benefit from all of that. I right now am benefiting from decisions I made in my 20s. And I'm benefiting from those financial decisions that I made in my 20s to not spend more than I made, to save, to tithe, to honor God. All of those, I'm benefiting from that many years later because I was disciplined. I did the hard thing first. Now, if you're a teenager and you do the easy thing first, you're going to do the hard thing later. And life will be hard the rest of your life. You can goof off in school and you can not learn and you can not grow and you can not accept responsibility and not grow up. And then the rest of your life, it will be hard. So it's either going to be pain now or later. I suggest you get the pain out of the way early. There are a couple promises from God about pain. They're on your outline. First thing God says is, even the pain you go through, number one, it's going to help you grow. Romans 5, we can have joy even in our troubles because we know that these troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. So I even know when I'm going through the short-term pain, it's producing character in my life. And the second thing I know God promises is he's going to reward me for the pain I go through in heaven. Next verse. Yet these present troubles that we're going through are quite small and they won't last very long. I mean, even if they lasted my entire life, that's only 90 years compared to trillions of years in heaven. Yet they produce, problems are productive, they produce for us an immeasurably great glory that will, circle this, last forever. We're going to have eternity to celebrate. Short-term pain for long-term gain. Because God's more interested in your character than your comfort. Why am I going through all these problems? God's more interested in your character than your comfort. And there's long-term gain for the short-term pain. The verse after that one we just read is verse 18. Look up here on the screen. Paul says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. The problems that I'm looking at right now in my life, I can see my problems. Financial problems, relational problems, physical problems, emotional problems, mental problems. I see those problems, but they're not going to last. What's going to last is the character I develop from going through them. What's going to last is my trust in God that I'm going through. What's going to last is the reward I get for putting my faith in Christ when I'm going through the problems. So, what do? The first thing I do is I say, I am going to refuse to define, let myself be defined by other people. And second, I'm going to choose short-term gain for long-term, short-term pain for long-term gain. That's what Moses did. Third thing Moses did, third life-shaping resolution. I choose God's values, not the world's. I choose God's values for my life, not the world's values. And this is what Moses did. And this is why God used him. Hebrews 11, verse 26, the next verse. Moses regarded, now that word regarded means to evaluate, it means to consider, it means to weigh in the balance. He's making a value judgment. He's clarifying what matters most. Moses regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. In other words, I'm going to be treated like a slave. He regarded being disgraced for the sake of Christ as of greater value, that's a value judgment, than the treasure of Egypt. He would have inherited all the treasure of Egypt as Pharaoh's grandson. Because he was, why? Looking ahead to his reward, long-term gain. I'm not going to have short-term gain. I'm going to have long-term gain. Okay? He's making a value. He clarifies what matters most. Let me ask you this question. What matters most in your life? What are the top 3, 4, 5 values in your life? Can you name them just like that? Bam, 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 bam. What are the most important values in your life? If you ask me, I would tell you real simply, integrity, humility, generosity, because I decided over 30 years ago, that's what I wanted to build my life on. Integrity, humility, generosity. I'm not there, but that's what I want to build my life on. Integrity, humility, generosity, because they're the antidotes to the 3 traps of leadership. Can you just name the 3 most important values in your life right now? If you can't, you certainly can't live by them. You're not living your values if you can't even name them. So you need to go home, and before you go one more day into this year, you need to sit down and say, what's most important to me? What are the top values in my life? And you need to write them out. Until you clarify them, you can't live by them. Moses chose God's values over the world's values. Now, why is this so important? I'll tell you why. Here's a little secret. If you don't decide what's important in your life, other people are going to decide it for you. And they're going to push you into their mold. And you're going to live their values, not yours. You got to decide what's important to me and then live by those values, not live by other people's values. Now, Moses said, I'm not going to live by the world's values. What are the world's values? Well, they're the same ones that the world has valued throughout history. Every single advertisement is built on one of the 3 values of the world: passion, possession, position. Or sex, salary, and status. Or lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. They haven't changed in thousands and thousands of years. We see them in these 3 verses. In verse 24, we see the world values popularity, power, and prestige. In verse 25, we see the world values pleasures, the pleasure of sin. In verse 26, we values possessions, the treasures of Egypt. Moses walks away from the very thing we spend our entire lives trying to get.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us today. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be right back to close out our time today, but first, let the true reason for the season fill your heart with hope this year when you discover Pastor Rick's inspirational book, The Purpose of Christmas. In it, Rick shows you how Christmas is designed to meet your 3 deepest needs and how receiving the 3 Christmas gifts God has for you will transform your life forever. This book is sure to become a beloved family favorite to be read every Christmas and to be shared with your friends who may not know how much God loves them. We'll send you a hardcover copy of the inspiring and beautifully illustrated book, The Purpose of Christmas, as our way of saying thanks when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the certain hope of Jesus to people around the world. To get your copy of this great resource, just call 800-600-5004 or go to PastorRick.com to get yours. That's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com. Here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
You know, there's so much we can be grateful for during Thanksgiving. No matter how things go wrong in your life, there's still something you can thank God for. But let's remember those who are less fortunate. Reach out to somebody with the love of God this Thanksgiving, maybe with a meal or a blanket, or invite them to church. Think about what you can do to let them know they're not forgotten during this season of giving thanks. God bless you all, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.